So I want you to raise your hand if this describes your life, right? Nothing ever goes wrong. There is zero conflict, no sinfulness. Everything is just Garden of Eden. Is that your life? Is your life perfect? Anybody? Yeah, most of us would not do that. But on the other hand, how many of you have been through some stuff? Like your life is messy. That's one of our core values here. We understand that we are all real people with real problems following a real Savior. If we're honest, we all have some junk in our lives that has scarred us. It's left its mark on us. Maybe you're there now. You're taking body blows from life and you're staggering just to stay up. Marital problems, your health or the health of a loved one is failing. Your children are struggling. You're struggling with your children. Your job is terrible or you can't find a job. The list goes on and on of all the storms that we face in life. Life is not all sunshine and rainbows, and it never will be until this fallen world is replaced by a new perfect one, as we are promised by God in Revelation 21, 1, beginning in verse 1, which says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.'" I cannot wait for that day where when we are asked if we have a perfect life, we will be able to raise our hands proudly and say yes. But that comes at the end, and we are not there yet. We are still here. And while we are here in a fallen world, things will be hard. We will have problems. We will have storms in our lives. All of us will have these things. Do not fall for the garbage that's preached about Christianity freeing you from the problems and storms of life. Christianity is not about smooth sailing for the rest of your life. It is about trusting that no matter how big the storm and troubled the waters, Jesus Christ will get you through it and will get you to Him forever. Look at the person next to you and say, "Jesus will get you through it. Jesus will get you through it. He will. He's the only one that can. He's certainly gotten me through the storms of my life." As I looked at this passage this week, I thought about storms from my life, and the one that stood out to me was about 3 years ago as my wife was pregnant with our youngest child, Lillian. This storm came kind of out of nowhere. See, Amy and I lost our first child to a miscarriage. And that storm was horrible and it almost broke us, but Jesus got us through it as we cried out to Him. But once you've lost a child to a miscarriage, the natural inclination is to be overly concerned with any other pregnancy, just waiting for something to go wrong. 3 months into Amy carrying Lillian, she started having complications. Something did go wrong. We had another storm. There was unexplained bleeding and preeclampsia. Amy's blood pressure started going nuts. So needless to say, we were scared in the midst of this storm. But we lifted our situation up to the Lord, knowing that He had delivered us through the loss of a child. Amy went to the doctors and they kept a close check on her and Lillian. And it all seemed to kind of pass away. Everything seemed to kind of stabilize. And then one night, about 3 weeks before Lillian was due, I woke up to Amy's cries for help and was completely terrified by the scene that I woke up to. I won't go into detail, but it was traumatic to say the least. And I was freaking out. I don't handle that kind of stuff too well either. That's her thing, and I was totally ready to leave Hayden and Lainey, my older children, at home alone while my in-laws came and just take her to the hospital, but she taught me out of doing that. But I was sure in that moment that this precious child was going to be the second one that I got to meet in heaven. And we raced to the hospital, praying for God to spare a child, I was praying that they would spare Amy. And when we got there, the doctors told us that everything was fine. Checked her out, the bleeding stopped, her blood pressure stabilized, everything was fine. Just like that, the storm was over. They never were able to tell us why it happened or how it happened, but I know Jesus got us through it just as he will. And here she is now, still keeping us on our toes. And I am not looking forward to the teenage years with that one, but Jesus will get us through it. Whatever you're facing in your life right now, Jesus will get you through it. I look at what we face collectively as a church and as a country over the last year and can say most assuredly that Jesus has gotten us through it. None of us could have imagined the storm that was on the horizon or the storms of politics that would rock our country, but in every one of them, Jesus has gotten us through it. Just 3 months ago, there were only 30 or 40 people gathered here on a Sunday, and last week we had over 200. Restaurants, shopping malls, movie theaters, and more were locked down or limited capacity, yet they are all on the road to being fully open. The coronavirus, which seemed unstoppable and shut down so much of our normal lives by the grace of God and the wisdom he bestows on men, is being slowed. Thousands upon thousands have died from this terrible virus, but the beauty and the hope that we find in Jesus is that not even death can separate us from him. Through faith in him, he gets us through even physical death. One of the scriptures that every believer should hide in their hearts is Romans 8, 38 and 39, where Paul writes, "For I am sure of this, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And oh, how I hope that you have the assurance in Jesus today that this is true, because your life will continually be marked by storms. And if you don't have the hope of knowing that Jesus will get you through it, then you will live in a continual state of fear and anxiety, always looking for relief, but finding none. You may be saying to yourself, "Patrick, those are some cool stories. I've heard about Jesus. I know what you say got you through those things. But how can I be sure that Jesus will get me through it? How can I know that he is capable of getting me through the worst times of life?" And I believe our passage today will help you believe that Jesus will get you through it. And what I pray you will do as we look at this scripture, as we walk through Mark 4, 35 through 41, is to have an open mind, to lay aside your biases and preconceptions about what you know about the world and any you may have about faith. Ask the Lord to help you lay these things aside, and then listen to the eyewitness account of a natural miracle worked by the words of Jesus, and then make an objective decision on who Jesus is and if you can trust that he will get you through it. If you do that, I believe this passage will show you something that will change your life. Turn with me this morning to Mark 4, 35 through 41. It'll be on the screen behind me if you don't have your Bible, but I hope you do. Beginning in verse 35. "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Gracious Father, may your word and the power of your spirit descend on us. Open our hearts to the realities of your truth. Father, will you use me, a broken and useless man, a vessel that is damaged, but Father, that you have knit together, will you use me today to speak this word clearly? Not my word, but your word, Father. Not my will, but your will. That Father, those that have gathered here will be transformed and renewed by the proclamation of your precious and holy word. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This passage is an awesome display of the power of God. So let's dive in and unpack what we just heard. With the phrase "on that day" at the beginning of verse 35, Mark is telling us that this passage occurs on the day that Jesus had been teaching all the parables of Mark chapter 4. He's been standing in a boat teaching crowds for hours. And now he is exhausted and says to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." It could be that Jesus was escaping this crowd that always pressed in on him, always wanted more and more and more of what he had, never truly believing, just wanting what he offered, not wanting to follow him. Or it could be that he was continuing with his desire from Mark 1:38 to preach in all the towns in the area. What we do know is that Jesus had a divine appointment across the Sea of Galilee with a demon-possessed man, and he was not going to be late for his appointment. We'll hit that next week as we study Mark chapter 5. And to get to the other side, verse 36 tells us that they took Jesus just as he was. They didn't stop to let him go change clothes or freshen up. They didn't stop for him to eat. They departed immediately from the coast near Capernaum, probably in the same boat Jesus had just been teaching from. Mark tells us too that it wasn't just the 12 apostles that went with him, but other boats were with them. This is like Jesus' red net yacht club setting sail across the Sea of Galilee. On these boats were many that considered themselves followers of Jesus. And though they would sail across the sea to be with him, many of them would not take one step farther when it turned out that they had to pay a cost to follow him. They would not follow him when they saw what it meant to be his follower. So this Capernaum flotilla sets out across the Sea of Galilee, unknowingly headed for a storm that would put their faith to the test. But even before they left, they had all the assurance that any of us need from Jesus. See, in verse 35, Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, let's see if we can make it to the other side." He doesn't say, "Man, I sure hope we make it to the other side." No, he says, "Let us go across to the other side." Jesus said that they were going to make it, that they were going to get to the other side. And because he said it, there was nothing that would keep it from happening. As you're here today, this is the first reason that you can trust Jesus to get you through it. Jesus always does what he says he will do. Every time. Scripture tells us this truth over and over. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it?" Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Joshua 21:45 says, "Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass." The word of God is full of promises to us as believers. And each one of them are ours through faith in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him." That is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory. This word is full of the truth of God. And every bit that he has said, he will do. No matter what storm you are going through, you must cling to those promises. You must cling to His words. Trust that when He says, all things work together for good for those that are called according to His purposes, that includes the storms that you walk through. That includes the very worst parts of your life. When Jesus promises to get you to the other side, He doesn't promise that the ride's going to be fun or without storms. He simply promises that you will arrive. You will be delivered. Whatever your storm is today, Jesus will get you through it. Trust it because He said it and His word is truth. And trust also that He may be using your storm to test you and grow you. So we see in this passage that Jesus picked the ultimate stage to test the faith of these men that He had called to follow Him and anointed them to go and preach His message. He calls them across the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is really a freshwater lake called Lake Kinneret today, and is unlike any other body of water on earth. It sits at 700 feet below sea level. It's the lowest lake in the world. It's teeming with life. Scientists from all over the world flock to the Sea of Galilee to study it and see the different properties that it has. It's ringed by a mountain range. And as it sits 700 feet below sea level, Mount Hermon, the highest peak, sits 9,200 feet above sea level. And this mountain range and this lake forms this giant bowl. And what this bowl does is create tremendous wind storms. It creates this perfect place for these wind storms to form, both summer and winter. And the winds of the winter are far worse, and that's when they're departing across the sea here with Jesus. It's worse because this cold air off of Mount Hermon at 9,200 feet descends into the warm air of the Sea of Galilee and creates storms with hurricane-force winds that come on suddenly and without warning. Check out this video for just a few seconds of what even a mild windstorm looks like there. Close to what these disciples would have faced. 5 to 10 foot waves are common, and there's been reports on the coast of the sea in a city called Tiberias where the waves would bring the water 200 yards into the city. This storm was so severe that it had seasoned fishermen, those that lived on the water, terrified. And when you think about the boat they were in, you may be thinking, oh, no big deal. We got the deadliest catch boats. We don't have to worry about that. But none of those boats are what they were in. Here's the hull of a boat called the Jesus boat that was found sunken near Capernaum in 1986. It's dated back to the first century. It's very likely that a boat just like this was what Jesus was riding in. And here's what that boat looks like as a replica. It's about 26 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet tall. It's like a party barge that you row or sail, not something you want to ride out a hurricane in. And I want you to understand the circumstances and the tools they had in hand, because it all points to the fact that they were in no way prepared for what was about to happen. But the storm came anyway. Verse 37 says it was a great windstorm. The word there for great in the Greek is megas. It's where we get the word mega. Something huge. A mega storm with winds of 70 miles an hour or more that came upon them suddenly and caused waves that crashed over their boat so that the boat was filled with more water than they could get out. They were sinking. And while this storm is going on, what is Jesus doing? Verse 38 tells us He is asleep on a boat cushion in the stern. The stern's the back of the boat if you're a non-sailor like me. And this is just a beautiful picture of the humanity of Jesus. Like we picture him as above all the things that we suffer with, but the Word of God tells us that he was in every way tried as we were. And this is the Son of God, so exhausted from his teaching that day that he falls asleep on a boat cushion and doesn't even wake up when the storm comes and the water starts pouring into the boat. Some of you teachers, if you're teachers, you know what that's like during COVID. The beauty of this, the Son of God that had never needed rest before, that had never needed rest before he entered earth, humbled himself to come and pour himself out, be exhausted enough to fall asleep in this. That is the Savior that we have that was willing to go through these things. This is the only reference to Jesus sleeping in the New Testament. And it points to his humanity, but it also points to his total trust that his Father would deliver him where he needed to be. He knew his Father was with him. And through his sleep, he is challenging his disciples to trust that they too would be safe because he was with them. That's the second reason you can trust that Jesus will get you through it. Because when we have a faith relationship with him, Jesus is always with us. He is always with us. The disciples were not facing this storm alone. They had the Creator of the world in the boat with them. Colossians 1:16 tells us, "For by him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." That's who's in your boat as you go through the storms of life. The Creator of all things. And he promises that he'll always be with us. Matthew 28:20, he says, "I am with you always until the end of the age." Romans 8:39 says, "Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Deuteronomy 31:8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." Brothers and sisters, you can trust that Jesus will get you through it because he is with you and he is for you. You don't have to worry about how big your storm is because your God is greater. It's so easy to deny that truth though, right? To let the circumstances of the storm make you question whether God truly is greater. The disciples in this storm certainly do. They go to Jesus and say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" These are men that have seen Jesus with hands of power make the lame walk, brought a paralyzed man to walking, cast out demons. They've seen the love that he has for these crowds that gather around him and just want and want and want. And yet still they question. Their fear makes them question his goodness. These seasoned sailors are terrified of this storm. They don't see how they can get out of it. And in their fear and panic, like so many of us, they question the love and faithfulness of God. How many of you have been there before? The storm hits. And you see the circumstances and in your fear, you cry out, "Jesus, why aren't you taking this away? Why are you allowing me to suffer? Why aren't you fixing this chaos in my life? Where are you? Don't you care?" And when we question Jesus this way, it's because we misunderstand the storm. So many of us get caught up in the way things make us feel We're caught up in protecting this physical body that we can't even see that Jesus wants more for us. We think that something damaging our psyche or our physical body is the worst thing that can happen to us. You think that storm in your life is the worst thing that could happen, but it's not. Being faithless and destroyed for all eternity in a place called hell is far worse than any storm you'll face in this life. It doesn't even compare. See, Jesus doesn't promise to deliver us from storms. He promises to deliver us through them. He promises to get us through it, even if it means that he delivers us through physical death into his presence forevermore. Death is not the worst thing that can happen. Death without Christ is the worst thing that can happen. And I know that the storm that you're going through is hard to face. Our storms make us tremble. But the greatest thing God will use your storm for is to make you call out to Jesus. Your storm shows you your lack in his power. And it leads you with the only choice but to call out to him. And these storms of life are where deep faith is formed. No one grows like those that are subjected to terrible storms in life. Disease, disability, persecution, marriage crises. No one grows like people that face those things and call out to Jesus through it all. And it's through those storms that you learn to fully rely on our Savior. In those storms, we learn what Paul wrote, that his grace is sufficient for us and that his power is made perfect in our weakness. I pray that you learn that, that your storm will teach you that. You may be here today and be like, my life's good right now. I don't have any storms. It's cool, calm waters. I don't need any help. But there's a storm on the horizon. The biggest storm you'll ever face. And that storm is coming for everyone. That storm is the wrath of God for your sin. So you may sit here today and think your life is good and put together and that you're just rowing along through smooth waters, but when the mega storm of God's wrath for your sin is before you with destructive power that you can't even imagine and you face that storm alone, you will be swept away in white hot fury. There is no standing on your own in the face of this storm. But if you put your faith in Jesus, if he is in your boat, you will be delivered from this storm. Because if you have Jesus, the wrath has already been poured out, and that storm will pass you by. Jesus did that for you. The wrath of God for your sin was poured out on him as he hung on the cross of Calvary. And make no mistake, it is coming for us all. We have all broken God's law, so his wrath will come upon us unless we have Jesus in the boat. That's why God sent him to earth. Romans 5, 8 and 9 tells us, but God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, it is Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. If you put your faith in Jesus today and rejoice that he will always be with you and will get you through whatever storm you face in life, you can do that today by confessing your sins to him, repenting of those sins, and turning and following him as Lord and Savior for all your days. It is before you today. He will get you through whatever storm comes in life, storms that you don't even see coming, he already knows about. He is omniscient. He knows all things. And that is the third and final reason you can trust that Jesus will get you through it. Because Jesus is not surprised or scared of your storm. Verse 39 says, "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm." See, Jesus didn't wake up from sleep and say, "Hey, what's going on?" He didn't wake up and have to get the sleep out of his eyes and say, "How am I going to figure this out?" The greatest phrase I've ever heard somebody say to me is, "Nothing has ever occurred to God. He knows it all." And so he knew this storm was coming. So as the disciples called out to Jesus and he answered their plea, he got up, wasn't freaking out, even though he was a carpenter and these were sailors. And he rebuked the wind and told the sea to calm down. And it did. That's like the greatest mic drop in all of history. He tells this storm to go. And this is no ordinary calm. Mark is very clear with his words. He uses megas here, great here. And it gives us this idea that there was total calmness. Jesus said, "Calm down," and a raging hurricane force storm that was sinking their boat turned into Lake Placid. I doubt you could even hear the waves lapping against the boat. And I have said "calm down" to my wife and children thousands of times and very rarely ever gotten a good response. And he shuts down a whole storm with three words. The whole natural order of the Sea of Galilee was put on pause. You know, when waves go out, they continue. This says it all calmed. The storm stopped and the sea calmed because Jesus, their Creator, told them to. And wouldn't we all be so much better off if we obeyed as well? We listened when he said no. This miracle is impossible for a mere man. You and I can go and scream in a storm all we want. It's not going to change anything. If you've seen the movie Forrest Gump, you know, Lieutenant Dan climbs up in the top of the boat and he's screaming and yelling at this storm. It does nothing to stop it. Yet when Jesus, the Creator, says stop, his creation listens. It listens. And this is what Mark wants his readers to see. Jesus knew the storm was coming. It didn't surprise him. He knew it would be a test for his disciples. But when he was ready for it to stop, it stopped. And he let the storm come anyway. He knew it was coming and he let it come. You know, he could have just whispered to the sea as he got in the boat, "Hey, don't be acting up." And it wouldn't have. But he didn't do that. Because he knew this storm had a purpose. Your storm has a purpose. We have to endure the storm to come out better on the other side. It didn't surprise Jesus. It didn't scare him. It didn't scare him because he had authority over the storm. Any other man is terrified in this situation, but not Jesus. Because Mark wants us to see that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is God. He has power over creation that only God has. Psalm 65:7 says, "God is the one who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples." Psalm 89:9 says of God, "You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." God ensured that Mark would capture the eyewitness details of this miracle so that we too could read it and know that Jesus is the Son of God who has power over every storm and every inch of the universe. Jesus is the only one that will deliver you through all of them and into eternal life because He is God. He is our Savior. And when you come to that conclusion, as the disciples did, when you have your eyes open to the reality of the fact that Jesus is the holy God of all creation, you will tremble before Him because you realize that you, a sinful man, have no way to stand before a holy God. It is terrifying when men stand before God because He is holy and pure and we are not. The disciples understand that. The reality that God was in their boat scared them more than the storm that just threatened their lives. They knew in that moment that a storm may destroy their physical body, but He could destroy them in the fires of hell. They questioned, who is this? As they witnessed the impossible, they saw more of Jesus' identity as God. They see that He rules over all things. And He asked them a question. After His display of power, He asked them a question. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And that is the question that everybody sitting here must answer when confronted with the power of Jesus. If you are here today, this is the most pressing question of your life. Do you have faith in Jesus? Is He your Lord and Savior? Do you recognize Him as the Son of God? If we live a life of fear and panic, looking to the world for the resolution of our issues, then we cannot say that we have faith. If we continually question and run away from the goodness of God because we go through a storm, then we cannot say that we have faith. No, in faith, we will cling to Him and cry out to Him and trust that He won't just get us through the storm, He'll grow us through it. Well, He'll grow our trust that He will always do what He says. He'll grow our trust in Him always being with us. He'll grow our trust in the reality that our storms are firmly in His control. He'll grow our trust so that we can have a deep, abiding faith that will last forever. And so, the peace of God that surpasses understanding will rule our lives and fill us with supernatural calm in the face of every storm that comes. And when we trust Jesus this way, then we develop a faith that will loudly proclaim through the great sufferings of life, Jesus will get me through it. Let us pray. Holy Father, I am so thankful for the truth of Your Word that even though storms will come in this fallen world, that You will get us through it. That we need not think that You leave us alone to these storms, but that You guide us and direct us through them. Father, I pray if there are some here today that don't have that assurance, that don't know that You are that God, that this passage today will open their eyes to Your power. That as they are here today, they will answer the question, do you have faith? Do you trust Jesus? With a resounding yes. And their salvation will be born today. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are in storms, that they would trust You through the struggle, that they would trust that if You are in their boat, they will make it to the other side. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.